Our monthly visit with Michelle Reinen from DatCap. He is here and now here on the morning show from WRCA Radio. Michelle, here we are in the month of June. It looks like you got a bevy of topics to talk about.
We do. Everyone has the hustle and bustle of summer, and so do scammers. So we have a lot of content for today.
Yeah, they don't have summer vacation. The first headline caught my eye, juice jacking. What is that all about?
Well, this is asking consumers to really think twice before they plug into public charging kiosks. And so when you find one, you might not think twice about plugging in a low battery device for a few minutes and really think about when you're at the airport and traveling about. But when a cyber criminal tampers with these kiosks to install a small electronic device called a skimmer, these tools become a juice jacking risk. And this term comes from hijacking and juicing, or adding juice, adding power to your device. So all just slang to make sure we're getting people's attention. When a juice jacked charging cable is plugged into a consumer's device, it could actually install malware, lock the device, and demand payment to unlock it, or steal sensitive data, the consumer's passwords, financial information, credit card or bank account numbers, and contacts could be stolen instantly and possibly without the consumer actually knowing that it happened.
That is one of the more scary things you've talked about lately, I think, Michelle.
It is. And so I do want to create some calm. Few public charging kiosks are tampered with by scammers, but almost any one of them could be. So we need awareness around this if a consumer needs to charge up. So if you are charging up, then know that should you get a choice to choose charge only when you plug in your device versus shared data, choose charge only. And then you have the option as a consumer to attach a USB data blocker device to the end of a cable, which allows devices to be charged while stopping any data transferring from occurring. So if you are a high volume traveler and need to use these, you might want to invest in that USB data blocker device, or just use a standard wall plug and portable battery with your charging cable, your very own, and don't depend on these public charging stations. Just go prepared.
Recovery scams, next in line here, and talk about that. I guess people posing as legitimate agencies trying to scam you?
Yeah, this one's just sad because it adds insult to injury, I think is the phrase here. And so what happens is in a recovery scam, this scammer impersonates those trusted resources like that government agency, law firm, or that consumer support organization, and they claim that they can help a consumer recover from a scam loss. That scammer then claims that they can help recover that stolen money or identity for a price, but really they're just being targeted by the scammers all over again. And we did hear from a consumer who reported that after they lost $5,000 to a cryptocurrency scam, they were contacted by what they thought was a reputable company claiming they could help get the consumer's money back. And the consumer transferred another $500 to this company through what they thought was a legitimate platform, but soon realized the website was just a convincing copy of a real platform and was actually controlled by this scammer. And of course, that scammer refused to refund that $500. And so the consumer lost even more money.
Wow. So what can we do? How can we block these kind of things?
Well, if you're offered help or recovery services after being scammed, please remember that scammers make money through urgency and emotional manipulation, and they rely on convincing consumers to act before they pause to think carefully about the situation. And that's what we want everyone to do, just pause and think through it. Ignore unsolicited offers. If you want help with recovery, seek that out directly from real agencies and organizations. I mean, come to DatCap. We're free. And be skeptical of requests for upfront fees. After payments delivered, there's no guarantee that you'll ever get those services that you've been promised. And if the fraudulent payment is sent to the scammer through the cryptocurrency kiosk, remember, file that report about those stolen funds within 30 days to the kiosk operator as well as law enforcement in hopes that we can help get your money back.
We had a story on this week about fewer kiosks now in the state of Wisconsin. I think that's a positive thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We anticipated that with the legislation that passed and we talked about last month, that some kiosks may disappear because of the regulations and the signage and the warnings and the daily limits that are there. And so I'm not surprised by that report.
School is out for a lot of kids. Internet safety for summer break. What's the latest on that, Michelle?
Yeah, well, June is a great opportunity for parents and guardians to just assess and improve their family's internet safety habits because we know there'll be more screen time on those rainy days or too hot in summer days. So we have some resources to help everyone get started with this conversation and evaluation. The first is Interact. It's an online safety course, a set of interactive online courses created for parents and guardians to complete with their children. Each course takes anywhere from 15 to 45 minutes, and they really are a great starting point to spark that online safety discussion at home and review the family's technology use. It was developed by the Wisconsin Department of Justice and the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction together. So you can get to that free resource by searching for Interact on the Wisconsin DOJ website at wisdoj.gov. And then there's UVille. This is a resource toolkit published by the Federal Trade Commission intended for kids age 8 to 12. UVille is free, a standards-based, and contains activities to help kids learn how to safely navigate the online world in a way that is engaging and fun, which is really important. And you can find that at consumer.ftc.gov. And then there's NetSmarts with a Z, an educational program from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And this provides age-appropriate videos and activities that can teach kids how they can be safe online when they're gaming, using social media, or communicating on smartphones and other devices. And you can find that at missingkids.org/NetSmarts with a Z at the end.
You never know what the kids could be looking at. You got to be really ahead of the game, don't you?
You do. And this is going to help navigate that conversation and the ongoing conversation as they are online to be sure you are checking in on what they're seeing, what they're engaging with.
Online lost pet scams. What can you tell us about that?
Well, first, that this can be incredibly heartbreaking. Losing a pet can be very difficult, and sometimes scammers target people whose pets have gone missing, and we've heard from a consumer in Wisconsin that experienced this firsthand. After this owner posted publicly about losing their companion, the scammer reached out and attempted to try and manipulate the situation to steal money. The scammer claimed, in this case, that they were a pet search service who could help find the pet for a fee. But we've also seen where these scammers try and claim that they found the pet but need payment for transportation costs, the pet has been injured or is sick and needs expensive veterinarian services, or that they've just stolen the pet and they're demanding money for its return. So these scammers are just relying on the pet owner being desperate to get their companion back, and they use that emotional manipulation to create that sense of urgency and the pressure to act quickly.
So what should someone do if they're caught in that kind of thing? Because pets are like family, obviously.
Yeah, and you're going to be willing to do almost anything, right? Well, first, know that if you request proof, the scammer could refuse to do it, but they can use artificial intelligence generated imagery of the animal to try and provide that proof. So that's going to be one thing to keep in mind. Avoid sending money up front, and then try and limit how much specific information about the animal you include in any physical posters or social media posts, because these details can be used later to verify if someone really has found the pet. And then search for any pet search services online with the term scam, complaint, reviews, just to try and verify that they're legitimate. And then use that legitimate information to contact them rather than what you're finding on social media and those profiles there.
Looking back on 2025, what were some of the top scams on social media?
Well, shopping scams is one of them, romance scams, and coaching training scams. So we found that in 25 from the Federal Trade Commission that nearly 30% of consumers who lost money to scams said it started on social media and that there were reported losses reaching $2.1 billion. And that's 8 times higher than in 2020. So thought it really important for people to remember these three. Shopping scams, they were the most reported scam on social media. And that's the posting of an ad for rare and expensive items listed at low prices, or a scammer posting something, getting you to click an ad that ends up at a website that seems familiar. It looks legitimate, but it's actually just a copycat of a legitimate website. And they're trying to get you to log in to the scam website to hand over your username and password and maybe even make a financial transaction where they can get your financial information. And then with romance scams, nearly 60% of the romance scams that resulted in losses in 2025 did start again on social media. So it's really easy for real users to meet people online, but that new love interest who sends an unsolicited direct message or matches with you on a dating app, that could be a scammer. So keep that in mind. These scammers will spend time gaining that trust and building that relationship, but then they'll ask for money to travel or to handle some emergency. And some will even ask you to invest in stocks or cryptocurrency in order to build that relationship. And then finally, the third thing was that coaching and training scams. Here, the social media users, they can find testimonials and ads posted by what we think are experts who offer to teach ways to get rich quick. And they might claim that they can help small business owners set up something with a high-paying remote job or make massive returns from stocks or cryptocurrency. And again, like the romance scam, these coaching training scams are often used in connection with investment scams. And that's responsible for more than half of all reported social media scam losses. So be mindful of that and be on the lookout for those investment opportunities that are just too good to be true.
Right. Everybody is looking for a quick buck. And I guess, again, the scammers play on people's emotions big time, don't they?
They do. It's one of the leading issues for how people get manipulated into being taken advantage of with scammers. We're not thinking rationally. We're being manipulated emotionally to act and react quickly.
So be suspicious of the big problems and things like that. And any other tips on that?
Well, don't trust those testimonials provided by coaches and trainers. You need to, again, search for those independent reviews. And remember that modern technology makes it easy for scammers to fake how they look and sound on social media, even in real-time calls, especially if it could be tied to a romance scam. And then always double-check the web address before logging in or entering any payment information. If it looks different than normal when it's a site you're normally at, that's a red flag, and you need to pay attention to that red flag.
I think everything we talked about was related to technology or, you know, social media and those kind of things. Any scams anymore? Are there any door-to-door? Are those common anymore or not?
Well, certainly we see the seasonal door-to-door situations. You know, I think just last year we talked about some charity scams that were going door-to-door. In the fall, we usually see black toppers come out around to the heat and they come to Wisconsin to try and scam us out of money that way. And then this spring, we were on the watch for those storm tracers when we had all the weather. So Yeah, we still get all types and kinds and methods, whether it be door-to-door, your mailbox, your phone, or online. The scammers will use every attempt and contact method possible.
Right, and we're certainly not out of the woods in terms of severe weather. That could be happening again all summer, so you just need to be mindful, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Be mindful of that and question things. Call Consumer Protection to check them out. You can reach us at 800-422-7128.
Michelle, always a pleasure to have you on the program, and good luck to you, and have a good month of June. We'll talk to you in July.
That sounds great. Take care.